We take another break from our regular sermon series in the book of Judges so that we can focus our attention on a passage which I think is very useful in connection with having men ordained among us today. Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 2 that he cared for the saints there in Thessalonica as a father and mother would care for their own beloved children. And friends, we must pray diligently that God would work his great love in all of the ordained servants in this church, in me, in the elders, the deacons, so that here we would have leaders who love God's little ones as their own. The sermon title, Leaders Who love God's little ones as their own. With that, we read now the living and holy word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity, or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, and that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy, righteous, and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God, and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. God's wrath has come upon them at last. The word of the Lord God from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as a congregation, we have the blessed privilege of witnessing the ordination of a man who will serve this congregation as an elder. Also the privilege of witnessing the ordination of two other men who are going to serve this congregation as deacons. But if this is the case, you might be asking, why are we looking at a passage here in Holy Scripture that is obviously not about the ministry of elders and deacons, but about that of an apostle, the Apostle Paul? In my Bible, this section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is entitled Paul's Ministry to the Thessalonians. And as you know, Paul was an apostle. He had the ministry of an apostle, an official representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, a very unique ministry. And that fact might lead some of you this morning to imagine that this passage must not have a whole lot to say with regard to that ministry of elders and deacons. It's about Paul and other prophets and apostles who were working with him in Thessalonica, but not really about elders and deacons. Well, friends, that would be the wrong conclusion. Let me just explain for a moment. There was something indeed very peculiar about the ministry of apostles, the very first representatives of our Savior King Jesus. And along with the apostles, of course, you have the prophets of Christ. The apostles and prophets, as you read in Ephesians 2, verse 20, they're the foundation of the new covenant church. And by their preaching and their writing, by their miracle working, they laid that foundation. And then it was done. That was a very peculiar, unique work that they had given them, the ministry of the apostles and prophets. Those special offices, apostle, prophet, they came to an end. But God did not leave his church without leaders. The New Testament very clearly teaches that God has established an ordinary spiritual government for his church. And it's composed of the offices of pastor, teacher, elder, and deacon. And the New Testament is equally clear that the Christian men who serve in these offices, pastor as well as elder as well as deacon, still very much represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's description of his service then among the Thessalonians is not focused, you understand, on the peculiar nature of his apostolic ministry. No, he is simply reminding the saints of how he lived and worked among them as a servant of Christ, caring for the Lord's blood-bought sheep. How he worked among them as a servant of God the Father, caring for the Father's precious redeemed children in Christ Jesus. Paul cared for the saints as though they were his own children. Insofar as pastors and elders and deacons are charged by God with that same basic task of representing the Lord Jesus and caring for his sheep, Paul's description of his own ministry here in this passage is absolutely a model for us ordained servants in the church today to follow as those representatives of Christ in the local church. Most of you understand what the offices of the church are all about, the offices of pastor, elder, and deacon. In case you don't, I will remind you very briefly. While pastors, of course, are charged by God to represent Christ, our great prophet, especially by proclaiming his word to sinners, both believers and unbelievers, elders are called by God to represent Christ, our king, especially by ruling or governing the congregation. The elders are to guide and oversee all the worship, the discipleship, and the fellowship that happen here. They're also to guard the flock of Jesus Christ from the false teaching of wolves. And the elders are charged by God to aid the pastor in the care of souls, which they do by making sure that God's word is bearing fruit in the lives of the saints, so that you are all walking by faith. Do you understand? So that you are all growing in godliness. Only in this way will God's holy name be honored through this congregation and through every member of it. What about deacons? Well, the deacons are entrusted with the ministry of mercy, as we often call it. It simply means that they're charged by God to represent Christ, our high priest, especially by facilitating the exchange of loving gifts and helpful service between the church members, so that the needy and the hurting saints among us are given the sort of care that will demonstrate Christ's love and mercy toward his people. And in this way, of course, the gospel is to be adorned by our loving fellowship. Not only by that work the deacons are doing, but as they facilitate that mercy that we share, the loving compassion and service we are engaged in all together. In this way, the gospel is ordained, adorned rather, by our loving fellowship in the local congregation. Friends, we could say a lot more about the various works and duties of the offices in the church, the work that these ordained servants are going to have to do in this local congregation. But I think you get the point. Elders and deacons are not apostles. There are a number of things that the Apostle Paul did that elders and deacons are never going to do. I'm never going to do them either. as pastor-teacher. But still, these men, like the apostles, are representatives of the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who cares for his sheep through these ordained men. In spite of our weakness, our ongoing sinfulness, the Lord Jesus chooses to care for his church to some very large degree through ordained servants. They're servants of God, and our Heavenly Father cares for his beloved children in Christ through the officers of the local church. Here's the thing. If pastors and elders and deacons are really going to serve as those instruments through whom God and our Savior is going to care for his people, we church officers need to emulate Paul's very personal, intimate, loving ministry among the saints in Christ. And that brings me to my first point this morning. I'm going to make 2 points. My first one is this. Ordained servants need to be like affectionate mothers who gladly give of themselves for the growth of God's children. The Apostle Paul reminds these saints at Thessalonica how he and other gospel ministers labored among them. These ordained servants were working in a very hostile environment. Really, a number of times here in chapters 1 and 2, Paul mentions the persecution, the affliction, the conflict that surrounded them. They had very difficult work to do in various towns and in Thessalonica as well. When Paul got there among them, he makes it very clear he didn't get there seeking his own comfort to get a break, a vacation. He didn't seek to get rich either. He wasn't looking to advance himself at all. Paul and the other gospel servants with him came to the Thessalonians to do more difficult work there in the gospel ministry, and to serve the saints there in a sacrificial manner. Yes, like nursing mothers who sacrificially serve their own precious children. Notice just those few verses again, 5 through 8 here in chapter 2. He says, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Friends, you understand, a nursing mother does not care for her infant child in order to get something from that child. That would be wicked. She doesn't get paid for her loving service unto her nursing children, right? And people usually do not show a lot of honor, give a lot of thanks to nursing mothers for the hard work that they do. No, a nursing mother gives gentle and affectionate care to her infant child. It's very hard work. But she does it because she so loves her baby. Wants that baby to grow healthier and stronger day by day. A loving mother does not just want her child to grow. She literally pours herself out. Gives of her very life in order to have that baby grow stronger. That's the sort of love that Paul had for the Thessalonians. He didn't try to get anything from them for his own comfort or for his own advancement. No, Paul was like an affectionate nursing mother toward the saints there in Thessalonica. He gave gentle care to these believers. And yes, that included preaching the gospel to them. But he says he also shared his own life with them. You know, brothers and sisters, it's the sort of gospel ministry that we need in this congregation. And I want to make it clear that I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to all of the elders and deacons in this church, those who are currently serving, those who have served, and those men who are going to be ordained today as officers among us. You know, in some ways, you elders and deacons have a ministry that is more like the Apostles Paul ministry than mine is. I didn't get into the gospel ministry because of the money. But as you know, this is how I make my living. I'm paid for this work that I do. I didn't pursue the ministry because I was looking for a great reputation among men. But as you all know, there are many occasions when I do get honor from people who look at the work I do and they think, oh, that's a big deal. You're a pastor in a church. Right? Show some honor because of that work that I do. Well, you elders and deacons must also know, I trust you do, that through your service in this church, you will probably not gain much for yourself, at least not in the way of earthly treasure and reputation among earthlings all around us. No great fame among men, and no payment for your work. But God calls you to love his beloved children in Christ and to be glad in sacrificially serving the saints here, just as nursing mothers are glad in the sacrificial service that they give their dear children. Glad even to pour out yourselves for the health and growth of the saints here, the children of God. The Lord, you see, calls us to such gospel ministry, where we ordained servants in the church are sharing not just the good news with the rest of the saints, but also sharing our very selves with them. Our Father in heaven calls us to practice a ministry that is not just this official business of running an organization, though there is some of that. But he especially calls us to a very personal, very spiritual work, which demands that we know the saints intimately, so that we may really understand their needs and then serve them effectively for their gain, for their growth in Christ Jesus as beloved children of God. That's a tall order. I understand. I'm sure you do as well. But let's remember, friends, it is, after all, the gospel ministry. The reason we must do the work and the reason we can serve the saints with an affectionate, sacrificial love is that God first sacrificially loved us. In order to save us sinners, God the Son literally poured out his life. It wasn't milk. It was his precious blood that he shed at the cross. The richest of all beings, the all-glorious creator of all things, became the poorest of all men in order to reconcile us sinners to God, who's granted us adoption as sons and daughters through his grace in Christ. And remember, the crowning gift of his salvation given to us is the Holy Spirit, who is the very love of God poured into our hearts, the very life of Christ poured into you believers, so that we would truly love God in return and love each other, of course. You brothers who serve with me as officers in this church, listen, that we would affectionately and sacrificially love God's children as though they were our own. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the cross of Jesus Christ and savor God's great love that was first given to us through his Son. Let's be sure that we also earnestly and persistently pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit, who alone can move and equip us to love the saints for their good. One other thing we want to take away from Paul's exemplary ministry: the apostle and those other gospel ministers who labored with him were like nursing mothers, giving gentle, affectionate, sacrificial love to the saints, but they also cared for the saints there at Thessalonica as fathers care for their children. As Paul mentions here in verses 9 and following, notice, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God, your witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Friends, brings me to my second point this morning. Ordained servants need to be like faithful fathers who give God's children good words and works to follow. Ordained servants need to be like faithful fathers who give God's children good words and good works to follow. By God's design, children grow up in this world not only through the tender care of affectionate mothers, but usually also through the teaching of faithful fathers. So Paul and his co-laborers there, yes, served as gentle mothers, but they also cared for the saints, as Paul says here, like a father with his sons or his children. Of course, fathers too should be gentle and affectionate, compassionate and sacrificial in their loving service to their children. But Paul focuses on something else here, something else about fatherly care of children. He focuses on that sort of faithful fatherhood, where dad brings up his children with wise words of exhortation and encouragement. Faithful fathers teach their children how to live. That's the point. And that teaching involves direction. It involves warning. It involves instruction, correction, approbation. Faithful fathers will love their children with all kinds of words. And that's the kind of love that Paul and his co-workers gave to the Thessalonians. Yes, above all, they spoke to them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the main thing, friends, but it's not the only thing. These ordained servants exhorted each of these believers, encouraged them, and charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God. You understand, it was the authoritative, practical instruction that the saints needed in order to live the grateful Christian life. That sort of life that must develop and grow in those who really have received salvation through faith in Christ. It's the good fruit of faith. That's what they were after. And so they exhorted and encouraged the saints to that end. In many churches, as I'm sure you know, the people in the local congregation will think that it's really the pastor's job to do the talking and the teaching, the preaching, the counseling, to speak words of exhortation and encouragement to the saints. As you also know, friends, obviously where pastors are set apart to that full-time ministry, they might very well do the most teaching, the most counseling, in addition to the preaching. But you must know, friends, please understand, that just as fathers cannot be fathers, they cannot be faithful fathers unless they have wise words of exhortation and encouragement for their children. So also, elders and deacons will never faithfully serve in the church unless they speak biblical truth to each of the saints for their growth and maturation in Christ Jesus. Gracious and loving words that will help the saints to grow. Elders and deacons, all of you must lead by teaching to some degree. And that will require you to know the scriptures. It will also require you to know the saints. Strive to know them intimately, dear brothers, so that you may bring the life-giving word of Christ in the most effective way possible. And you must keep in mind that your teaching will do God's children very little good if you are not walking in godliness yourself. Fathers can teach and teach and teach until they are blue in the face, or until their kids are green in the face, if you know what I mean. But children are far more likely to follow the daily pattern of living that they see in their fathers than they are likely to follow the words that they hear from their fathers. Faithful fatherhood requires not only wise and loving words of instruction, but also teaching by an exemplary life. Paul led the saints. He helped them to grow by holy and righteous and blameless conduct toward those believers, he says in verse 10. See, not only good words that they could hear from Paul, but also good works that they could see in Paul and his partners. Good works for the children of God to follow. Was it an absolutely sinless life? Well, of course not. But if Paul, you understand, could remind the Thessalonians of what he knew they witnessed in his ministry, we can be really quite certain, friends, right, that he and his partners were evidently characterized by godly integrity, so that no one could accuse them of hypocrisy, of religious play acting. You brothers who serve with me as officers in this church must know that we will not have perfect conduct. Far from it. We all remain sinners, daily in need of God's forgiving grace, sometimes in need of forgiving one another, and sometimes needing the forgiveness of the saints that we're serving here in the local church. But we are called to live with that sort of godly integrity that the rest of God's children can actually see and follow. Paul also clearly teaches in 1 Timothy 3, as well as here in 1 Thessalonians 2. It's the sort of conduct and character that none of us can produce and maintain on our own. Brothers, you know that. All the more reason for us to pray continually for the increasing sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and for us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who redeemed us to make us zealous for good works. And those good works, beloved, when joined to the good words of your teaching, will be God's way of producing more growth in his beloved children, whom he has called into his kingdom and glory, and whom he will surely bring into his kingdom and glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.